Hale Varsity Magazine presents the Hale Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hale Varsity.
Day by day,
day by day,
we get better and better.
We get better and better.
We get
beat, beat.
We get beat, beat.
Boom, beat, beat.
Boom, beat, beat.
Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Great to have you in on a Thursday. Hale Varsity Radio, Hale Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning, en route, if you haven't pulled him over, Jay Moore, Blackshirt Husker NFLer, Jay Moore, finished a meeting. I don't know if that was code for golf, but he's on his way shortly. We hope. It's okay. Hope you're doing all right. Busy show, a lot to get into, a lot to talk about today on Hale Varsity. And if you want to join us, you can tap the line. And your friends at Chilling Bridge Cork and Tap Room invite you to do so. I said tap room, tap house. You get the point. A large selection of imbibing material there at Chilling Bridge Cork and Tap House. Can dial us up if you want to tap the line. 466-3776. 466-3776. 1-800-825-5865. On social media. At Schmidt underscore radio, at Hale Varsity, at TJ underscore Henning, at JMoore44. And I'm getting the flash from TJ right now. Not that. Bacon Fest tickets. Oh, now you're going to make it rain with Bacon Fest.
You bet.
We kind of got a little sound effect with that.
Maybe a little bit.
Bacon Fest tickets, three pair.
Give away today.
Between 4 and 6. So that is part of your bribery Thursday. We will have that for you. Also, HaleVarsity.com premium subscriptions to you. 6 months with HaleVarsity.com. Great stuff. Now, we got a fraction of the time last night. We told you Tanner Lee was your new quarterback. We told you Tanner Lee was your new quarterback about 5:35. We had to go to break. We had to do a jock doc. And then the show was over, pretty much. We will give you full Monty reaction to Tanner Lee and his naming. Because, you know what, you have an answer. And you can move forward here with visions of championships in your head with a guy that's pretty talented. One of his teammates that had an incredible spring. And he is, I say this a lot, the pride of Lincoln Southeast, Luke Gifford, will be with us. Outside linebacker, former safety. Former Knight, Luke Gifford, in 15 minutes. So Nebraska linebacker Luke Gifford shortly. In hour two, how about NFL draft? Russ Landy spent a decade in the front office or as a talent scout for the Rams, for the Browns. And he is, of course, founder of GM Juniors. You've seen him on the Big Ten Network. Russ Landy will kick off hour two. We'll talk to him about the Nebraska guys.
Mm-hmm.
Where are they going to go in a week with the NFL draft or free agent options, that type of thing. We'll run down. I love this draft. I love all the running backs in this draft. I know the quarterbacks are a little funky, but some of the edge rushers and, of course, some of the secondary picks are tasty. I mean, you got a lot of talent.
And Russ Landy, one of the best to do it, so love having him on.
No, Russ has been doing it for forever, too. I mean, he worked with Vermeil. Did some Belichick work in Cleveland. I mean, that's a while back. So there you go. Hour two with Russ Landy. And then the old coach, Gary Barnett. On 420 day, I don't know if he's in if he's in Scottsdale or if he dared step foot in Boulder. But former Colorado and Northwestern coach Gary Barnett. Barney will be with us. We'll get his thoughts on Mike Riley, Nebraska's spring. And the Husker quarterback situation moving forward. We'll sneak time in for Russell Westbrook and what that was last night because I'm mesmerized by it. Now, this comes from a guy who spent money with his family to go down and watch the guy twice.
Mm-hmm.
More so it was Durant.
More so Durant, yeah.
It was more so Durant, but we got the Russ effect.
Yeah.
He played in one of the games. Durant played in neither because he was hurt.
Ooh. Both times you went
both
down
times
there?
I went.
Oh, both times you went.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't go to game four last year like
oh, that's right.
somebody because I'm the son-in-law. So let's talk Tanner Lee. We got to come up with a nickname for Tanner Lee, don't we?
T. Lee?
T. Lee?
That don't work for you?
How about General?
General T. Lee.
No, not General T. Lee, just General Lee.
All right.
We got to do something like that. Okay, let's talk here about Tanner Lee. Here's the why, okay? The why is you got to reward the room. The quarterback room stepped their game up this year. From freshman to transfer to redshirt freshman to incoming, maybe senior, but now junior redshirt transfer. These guys all grinded. They all put in film. They all put in scout team. They all put in Sunday practice. They did a ton of things within the calendar year to get a chance to make their case. And when push came to shove, Tanner Lee earned it. He earned it. He earned it in front of his head coach, in front of his offensive coordinator, and most importantly here, if you're a good head coach and you're a good coordinator, you have the heartbeat and pulse of your team. Who are they responding to? Who do they want to play for more? That's the key word, more. Tanner Lee was it. And guys want to win, okay? It's not a shock. It's not rocket science. It is what it is. And the guy that gives you the best chance to do that based on his physical tools and the fact he has won before at this level, Division I, you go with Tanner Lee. Huh. It's Pink Thursday, apparently. My God, turn the lights off on that shirt. We're talking Tanner Lee. Ooh. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Jay Moore has rocked his way in. See, if you're going to go with pink, there's a title for the type of pink shirt I'll wear.
What's that?
Rhymes with itty. Pink.
Okay.
Okay? Is his mic on?
It is.
Okay. Am I on now?
Yeah.
He was just so far away.
We're talking Tanner Lee.
Okay. Yep. I heard. I wasn't playing golf, by the way. I was driving in.
Well, you do have like khakis on today, yeah. So.
You are dressed for golf.
Well, I always
well,
dress
it's Thursday.
That's like the only set clothes I have. I mean.
That's fine. Tanner Lee, listen, this is the guy who's earned it, and the expectation, I think, for Nebraska fans is kind of like the whole Riley hire. You do more with more. There are those out there that are like, well, I mean, he's tall, he's got a good arm, he can throw it, he's experienced, but the question mark is, what'd he do at Tulane? Going other side of the fence, you're presenting the other side about nothing's a slam dunk in life. I get that. But you do more with more. And at worst case, and this isn't to punch anybody below the belt, at worst case, he's used to kind of running for his life.
Very true.
Okay?
Very true.
I mean, he's kind of used to running for his life at Tulane. And maybe they're down a few points.
Mm-hmm.
Worst case scenario. So he's been through hell from time to time in a football game, trying to come back. And he's taken a ton of hits. So this is either better or he deals with something he's used to if the offensive line doesn't get better. He's got too many physical skills. Jay, listen, you were part of a group, a team that had a quarterback battle, air quote battle, and Zach won it.
Mm-hmm.
And then Zach also kept it, fended off the hot shot freshman with what's the dude's name?
Will Harrison back.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, Callahan brought everybody and anyone who wanted to audition in just to find a guy who could throw the football. And Zach won the job one year and kept the job another. What's a team like Nebraska want or look for in their quarterback? What's important traits?
Composure. Cool, calm, you know, in the pocket. You know, I think don't get flustered, but a guy that takes care of the football, realizes that every time, every play that he has that football in his hands, that he's literally his responsibility. He has the most responsibility out of every any out of all the other.
He can win
21,
it for you and lose it for
out of
you.
The other 21 positions on the football field. Those other 21 guys, 11 on you know, you're 11 on offense, 11 on defense. That one is the most important. He holds the single most important position every snap. He's responsible for the team because what he does, getting the snap right, getting the footwork right, getting the handoff right, making the right reads, making the right throws, you know, that you're those other 20, you know, those other 21 guys that are your starters, you're responsible for all of them, how this kind of game goes. So there's, I mean, there's a lot of pressure, but it's a guy that, you know, takes care of the football, is able to take what the defense gives them. A lot of times don't force the issue.
What gets quarterbacks in trouble with their team? Is it the John Wayne mentality, for lack of a better term, Favre play?
Where
you take unnecessary chances?
Yeah, I think what gets you in trouble as a quarterback is you don't prepare enough.
What gets you in trouble with the team, though?
Right. But, yeah, definitely you don't prepare enough. But also, yeah, that mentality of I can fit this ball into this window. And I think I was talking to some guys. They're talking about, you know, what do I think about Tanner Lee? And I said, listen, do I think he's as talented as Tommy Armstrong? Absolutely not. I think Tommy has a stronger arm, can run better. But But Tanner Lee's decision-making abilities are a lot better.
And I think, willingness to settle?
Understanding what you can do. Understanding your abilities. I think, listen, Tommy was a great quarterback, but at times he thought he could do damn near anything he wanted to on that football field. And he got the team in trouble too much. I think Tanner's a guy who's like, whoa, I know I can't make that throw, so I'm not even going to try to. I'm going to dump it off to Wilbon or Zigbo, or I'm going to hit Engelhop, whoever the tight end, or Stoll, whoever it may be over here, because he's wide open for five, and move on. I know I have a good I got Stanley Morgan, but I have to fit it in this tight window. I have to go over a linebacker, in between a corner and a safety here. Can I do it? Yeah, I've done it in practice before, but is it the smart play? Probably not.
Time and situation.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. I think that's what you're getting with him. He's able to think more conservatively on the run. I mean, we haven't seen a lot of him yet, but he's more of your game manager. You know, he's that guy that he's kind of the old school guy that's, you know what, he's not going to, you know, you want to call him, I mean, even like a Tom Brady-ish, you know, they don't want to ever get into that comparison.
Can we tweet that out?
Right.
But Tanner generally equals Tom Brady.
No, but I'm just saying, but you.
Signed by Jay Moore.
Right. But I'm saying comparing like games and how you want to kind of, how one guy.
It's a style thing.
Right. It's a style. It's a pocket passer. He makes the high percentage throws. I mean, what does New England do? They find those matchups, and it's not. You don't see Brady threading the needle a lot. You're never like, whoa, that was a hell of a play. He makes the simple play. He makes the right play. He reads the defenses and he completes those passes. I feel comfortable. More comfortable when it gets into a scenario of, okay, we need to make some stuff happen and we need to a methodical drive. He's going to be able to do that and just take what the defense gives and kind of keep going.
Think about how Nebraska's lived offensively the last few years. It's kind of been boom or bust.
Correct.
Gash, big play, which is all good. You're not going to complain, and it's exciting. But if you didn't get it, you probably didn't win, or it was tougher to do so. And you're going to have a different look and a chance to stress a defense multiple ways versus what did we know the last 8 years at quarterback. Quarterback probably had to have a 100-yard rushing game or at least 6.5 to 7 yards a carry if he ran it. Mm-hmm. Can't turn it over. And they had to be efficient. And efficient was 50% completion percentage and hit some deep passes. Mm-hmm. Now it's shifted. You want 65% completion percentage. And you want this quarterback to just live to fight another down and move the chains and make the right play when it's open. Mm-hmm. It'll be open, but just execute it. And that's what you're shifting stylistically. From an arm standpoint, I'm interested in your take and your response there about Tommy's footwork, mobility, and arm strength being better than Lee's, which I don't discount all of that. I don't know about the arm strength, but I'll take your word for it. But from just a progression and kind of more of a structured offense approach, you got a guy here that can kind of just conduct things.
Right. Well, it's like you want to compare it to the golfer. Do you want a guy that can bomb it but is awful with the wedge game? You know, he can't chip or putt,
he can't
even get sniff 15 feet from 100 yards in. Or do you want a guy that gets it in play, really good wedge game, really good short game, really good putter? You always want the guys that can score. That's the kind of comparison. Tommy could, he could air it out, but inconsistent, had trouble making those short throws, bubble screens.
You're
right, exactly. And yeah, it's fun when it works once every 10 times, and it's nice, and you win some football games doing that.
Yes, you did.
But can you? Nebraska's got to find that consistent level.
We do it every game.
Exactly. And again, defenses always are going to give you something. You have to. You have to take away something. You can't take away everything. They're going to take what you can. And then as soon as they kind of adjust to that, then you go, okay, now I'm going here because you're playing up a little bit. Now that little seven route is open.
You manipulate them.
Yes, exactly.
You manipulate the defense. A guy that's been doing a lot of manipulating when it comes to that intermediate route coverage, Luke Gifford, Husker linebacker, next.
Forget to catch any segment of the show?
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Find the podcast of the show on HailVarsity.com or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
All right.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
1 hour from now, former Colorado and Northwestern head coach Gary Barnett, Barney, will join us. NFL draft expert Russ Landy next hour. Stand out at Lincoln Southeast. And a guy who did awesome this spring, outside linebacker for Nebraska, Luke Gifford, with us. Luke, great to talk to you again. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're doing all right. How's the spring going now that you have no football? It sounds like you're heading back from class.
Yeah, I am, actually. It's kind of nice, I'm not going to lie. Good to get some free time. So
you exhale. You exhale a bit. I like it. That's good.
A little bit. Try to.
Well, we're gonna reminisce for a second. let's talk about spring as you went into it. And I got to start with Coach Diaco and take us through your impression, your experience, first time you met him when that change was made and things kind of started rolling for you.
Yeah, you know, it's been really good. Obviously, everybody's adapting well. But you could tell right away when he got here that he was very intense and was all about his business, which has been great for us. That's exactly what we needed. So we could all tell right away. It was a new deal. It was going to be ran differently, and obviously for the better. So everybody's liked how it's gone so far, and it's moving in a positive direction, that's for sure.
Luke, on a scale of 1 to 10, how comfortable do you feel as of right now with that outside linebacker position, playing in a 3-4, and kind of getting used to the new terminology and the phrases and the techniques that Coach Diaco is emphasizing this spring?
Honestly, I feel like 9 to 10 range, to be honest. I think my skill set really fits this defense, and then they do a great job of coaching it. I mean, they are top level coaches. Him and Coach Diaco and Coach Bray, they know how to coach. You know, so it's really fun playing for guys like that who have been there and done it. And then, you know, Coach Diaco, this is his defense. He made this defense, so it makes it even better to play for him when he knows it so well.
Luke, who's been working with outside linebackers? Has Coach Bray been working with you guys, or as Coach Diaco, or is it kind of a linebacker group as a whole kind of working together?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of both. They take turns off and on during the week, and then when we're actually doing drills and like 7-on-7 and like team stuff, they both do their fair share of coaching. So it's really not. I wouldn't tag either one of them to the inside or the outside. They're both doing coaching to both positions all the time. So
few minutes here. Luke Gifford, Husker outside linebacker with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Luke, when you came to Nebraska, I mean, you were a tremendous safety at Southeast, extremely good at ball hawking. You also played quarterback, and you were a dual threat when you did that. So your transition to college specifically, how's that been, and what's been your process with the weight addition? Because I think you were, what, 190s to low 210s in high school, and now you're 240, right?
Yeah, I was around 205 in high school, and I'm about 240 right now. So, you know, it has been a big transition. I think the biggest thing for me, the transition from high school to college, was just the speed of the game. And you know, you athletically, you're about where everyone else is, but the pace of the game is just so much different. And you can do it in practice all the time, but until you get into the game and experience it, it's just not the same. So when I got in there those first couple of years, you know, it was still a big adjustment for me, and even in the spring game the last couple of years. But this year I just felt like everything's really slowed down. And I think a lot of that has to do with my conditioning and just my physical ability now, just how my body's changed. And, you know, our strength staff is awesome, and they've kept me on the ball and just working really hard at it. So I give a lot of credit to them. It's definitely made a big difference for me.
What do you love about your role on this defense? I mean, you got coverage skills, but you got linebacker size, and I get the hybrid side of it. But what do you love, and what can you kind of envision doing here to help the defense?
You know, I think the outside backers really just get a chance to cause a lot of problems. I mean, we're all over the place. A lot of stuff that wasn't seen in the spring game, obviously. We didn't show much, but we got so much that we can do and so many different ways to do it. So I'm really excited, honestly. There's so many different disguises and things we can do. So I'm excited to show it.
Yeah, I'm excited to see it as well. That's what I love about the 3-4 defense, Luke. Looking at the 3-4 with Coach Diaco, does he have like the foundation of that defense that he's always reiterating it a lot to you guys? Like, we have to set the edge to the call side. The communication has to be there. Is there certain things that he's always saying foundationally for this defense to be very successful?
Oh yeah, definitely communication, and then just like you said, the force. You know, there's always got to be a force on each play. There's always got to be. It's always got to be communicated and recommunicated back. So that was the biggest thing, I think, when he got here was one of the first couple things we talked about were those two things. So we've made that a huge emphasis. And, you know, when you communicate, it makes everything so much easier. If you're going to be wrong, at least if you're communicating, you can all be wrong together and make yourself right. So I think we've came a long way. Communication was big for us, and I think that's part of the reason why we're at now.
Did you get with Kalu and Weber and just think about as a joke showing that three-man front to mess with Diaco?
We would have loved to, I think. But none of us really wanted to test him out and see how he'd react. So we took a pass on that one.
That's okay. Well, you didn't take a pass on the spring game. You had an interception with one good hand. You had a forced fumble. You stripped Keyshawn, and then you blew up a screen. Just another spring game for you, right?
Right. Yeah, I mean, I was pretty happy with the way it went. There's a lot of things that I could have changed, you know. Still some little mistakes here and there that got to get cleaned up. But overall, I was pretty happy with it. You know, I was joking with someone before the game. I hope I don't get an opportunity for a pick because I'm not sure what I'm going to do. So decided to just stick one out there, and luckily it stuck to me like glue. So I'll take it.
There you go. Well, how were you able to kind of gut through it? Because you have a giant, well, I'll call it a weapon on one of your the club, right? I mean, you had to play most of the spring with one hand.
Yeah, it was pretty much a club. The first week was rough. It was not easy. Your hand's still broken, you know, so it's not like the club only does so much for you at first. But spring break was big for me because it kind of gave me some time to heal. And then when I came back, I could use it a little more. And as the spring went, it got better and better. And obviously, I couldn't use my fingers much, but I kind of got used to it as I went.
Luke, I know you said earlier that you're very comfortable. You're about 9.5 or 10 within this defense. But was there something that you were very uncomfortable with when you first started, you know, practice one, practice two, practice three as an outside linebacker in this 3-4 defense?
Yeah, you know, I really have never been or haven't done a whole lot of pass rushing. And that's something that the outside backers have to do in this defense, and I hadn't really done it much. So I would say that's probably the biggest thing that I had to adjust to, and I kind of got with Coach Barella and Coach Bray. You know, they know their stuff so well. It's awesome to have Coach Barella around, because that guy's done it for so long, you know, and he'll help out the backers at any time. So he's really helped me out in that aspect. And I think I'm starting to get comfortable with it. I'd say that's the one area that I'm still obviously working on. That I'm not 100% comfortable with, but I think it's a process, so it's coming around.
Luke Gifford with us, Hail Varsity Radio, former Southeast Knight and junior to be at Nebraska, outside linebacker, and he's joining us for a few minutes as he's heading home from class. Luke, I got to ask you, about 5:30 last night, Coach Riley got on Twitter and set it ablaze with the quarterback announcement, with Tanner Lee getting the nod at quarterback. What's your reaction? Did you guys have a team meeting on that where he announced it, or was it just the quarterback room? And what do you think about his decision?
They just had a quarterback meeting, you know, and Coach Riley gave him the news there. But I think everyone obviously supports Coach Riley's decision. Tanner's a great quarterback. That dude can sling it, and we've all known it since he got here on campus. You know, we saw him every day on scout team last year. So we know he's a great quarterback. He's a good leader, good dude to be around. So we're really excited for it. And, you know, Patrick, he worked his butt off too. So you got to give him a ton of credit. I mean, and you never know. He's still right there. He's a good quarterback. And he's just got to keep his head up, keep working hard. And I know he will. He's a good kid. So we're all excited about the situation. And we think it's heading in the right direction. So
I got to ask you, what makes Tanner a good leader? And I'm not doubting you. I just expand on that a little bit.
I think one thing I noticed about him was how poised he is. As soon as he got here, you could just tell that his attitude and the way he went about everything he does was just calm, cool, and collected, and it didn't matter the situation, you know? So I think that's probably one of the biggest things about him.
Well, that's good info. Luke Gifford, outside linebacker for Nebraska, at @Luke_Gifford. On Twitter, junior and out of Lincoln Southeast. Luke, congratulations on your spring. Continued success, man. Enjoy a bit more of a break, and we'll catch up again. Thanks for a few minutes with us today, bud.
Yes, sir. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate your time. Luke Gifford with us here on Hail Varsity Radio. Awesome guy. And just from a personal standpoint, I've had a chance to watch Luke for a lot of years, not just in Nebraska, but doing high school football Friday nights, just seeing – I mean, the guy started as a sophomore and did great things for the Knights. Some of us went there. And
Knight pride.
Yeah, well, but he's the happiest guy in America, it sounds like, because his strength was always that mobility, athleticism. Mm-hmm. We're going to bring you in as a safety and put you at linebacker. Mm-hmm. Well, you know it better than anybody, the ability to have that run stoppage linebacker mentality, but also the cover ability you need. And it seemed like a really good mesh for him, and he's blown up. And you have Newby that's really talented, so you're rich right now at the linebacker spot if you're Nebraska.
Yeah, I kind of thought when I asked him what was uncomfortable for him, I would have said pass rush or
just because he hadn't done it
or setting the edge from a 2-point, you know, on the line. It's just – it makes it – it's if you don't do it, like, it's just hard. I mean, it's really difficult. So – but, no, he has the ability to drop into the coverage and communicate. It's not going to be an issue for him because you have to do that, obviously, as a safety or even a linebacker. So that's just – you know, that's just another turn of the page, you know, of that book for him. That's simple stuff. So, no, he's going to be – you know, what he's able to do with Flash, I mean, in that, what you saw in the spring game a little bit, just – you know, causing the strip and that stuff. I mean, that's not
something
easy.
He's always been able to do. Yeah, he just needs the opportunity.
People think that's just an easy thing. Like, when you're in a game, like, you don't, it's hard. You need to be, that has to become like second nature, because a lot of times you're just worried about tackling the guy. I just want to get the guy down. But to be able to get in there and strip it, that's good stuff. So he's really excited to see what he's able to do this year.
It is. Good stuff from Luke Gifford. Gary Barnett coming up. Russ Landy, 20 minutes away. Also, a shot at Bacon Fest tickets shortly with you with Hail Varsity Radio.
subscribe to Hail Varsity Magazine. Call 1-855-3-HUSKER or go to HailVarsity.com/subscribe.
That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing!
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Big thanks to Luke Gifford, Husker outside linebacker with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Chris Schmidt, Blackshirt Husker NFLer Jay Moore, Russ Landy, NFL insider, draft expert 15 minutes away, Gary Barnett coming up next hour. And we spent the first part of the show kind of with the reaction to the naming of General Tanner Lee.
I like it.
Yeah, I think we, because we can't have him go Costanza and give himself his own nickname.
Right.
We got to go with General Lee.
Do we get him a car?
No, Bubba's got that
one. Yeah, I know.
Bubba's a goon.
Yeah, douche.
Speaking of that word, there was some on display in the fourth quarter last night. How about old Russ Westbrook? Now, you might be like, talk more football, SNBA. We got to stop and spend 2 seconds on this. And I didn't cut up. I got 2 minutes of Russell Westbrook's post game, and I wanted a bullet and a gun for me so I could stop listening to it. Just because he's like monotone and then I don't care about the stats. He didn't say I didn't care. But and then someone asked something similar. Already asked that question, bro. So kind of sift through that. But I tell you this, Russ Westbrook is extremely difficult to cheer for. And he's always been difficult to cheer for. He's been incredibly easy to be entertained by, but he's hard to cheer for. Because guys at that level either want their touches to help you win, or if they don't get their touches, you better win. And Russ is a classic heartbreak. Can't live with you, can't live without you. And the fourth quarter, God, 4 for 18. Let's beat the hell out of that. I'm sorry. It's been beaten dead already today. But it's not just about the 4 out of the 18. It's the point that when he wants to, when he is locked in, he'll either get to the free throw line or finish at the rim. You cannot check him going to the rim. What happens? Goes 2 for 11 from three-point land. So 11 of the 18 shots are from three-point land. It's 1 on 5. It's a-hole old man gym guy that just doesn't use the other guys on his team. What happens? They go code red on him in the Y locker room with bars of soap and socks. He'll pass the next game. Somebody needs to do that again to Russ. No reason, Katie said, I'm getting the hell out of here. And there's no reason to expect anybody to come help him because he don't want the help.
Yeah, I mean, how do you feel? I mean, Doug McDermott is just kind of like, well,
I'm making a check. Yeah. Doug's.
Yeah. I mean, listen, but here's my thing. I understand he was like this even with KD, but someone's got to be telling him, like, I mean, don't you think?
Who's going to tell him, though, on the team, on that team? Well,
I mean, is it the head coach? What's his fake? His head coach now is the old Florida coach, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So,
Donovan.
Yeah, Billy Donovan. So
Donovan just wants him gone.
Well, I mean, what do you do? I mean, you, let's be honest, KD gone. Not, I mean, the trades that happened between the Bulls, yeah, you got McDermott, but yeah, he's a spot up catch and shoot guy. You know, but what do you, that's, Westbrook, is his game is 1,000 miles an hour.
And if it's to the rim, I'm okay with that. But when he decides to pull up and be a jump shooter, he isn't one. He's a scorer. He's not a jump shooter. And listen, he was phenomenal. He was absolutely incredible through the first three quarters. And he was, TJ, you'll agree with me on this, marginally efficient.
Yeah, somewhat for Russ. For Russ, I would say, yeah.
For him, you look at him and you say, okay, that was a really stupid shot, but it's going down. And then it disappeared. I mean, he used all his lives, all his energy, whatever. You want to go video game here in the first three quarters. He had nothing left from a make.
Yeah.
And I just, that is something on Jordan's worst nights, like the night he went for 63 against Boston back in 86, he at least shot 50%, and he probably took damn near 50 shots.
Mm-hmm.
And I know Russ got the triple-double, but he was near that triple-double number by half. What happened? How did Houston come back and take that thing? The guy that was the bigger ball hog in the NBA, even ahead of Russ, James Harden, mm-hmm. got his points, but drove and either kicked or finished. And that's how they tied it. That's how they got the lead. And I know he has better talent around him than Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
The point is he's willing to pass it to see if he had better talent than Oklahoma City.
See, here's the thing with Russ, man. He's a complex player.
Are you not disgusted by last night?
I was disgusted by the fourth quarter. But part of it is, too, is he doesn't have the teammates like James Harden does. James Harden averages 13 assists per game because he's surrounded by shooters.
He had a Hall of Famer. He had a Hall of Famer that came into the league with him,
and
he ran the hell out.
And he should have been able to make it work, and he didn't, and that should be on him. But, look, you love that he's going to give you 110% every night.
Can your league MVP
doubles.
Go 4 for 18 in the fourth quarter
of a
playoff game?
You can't do that, but you also got to have teammates who are willing to shoot. There were that transition where they found Russ from three, and then they gave it back to him again. None of those guys wanted to shoot. Andre Roberson shoots 27% from three. Your best three-point shooter, Doug McDermott, can't be out there because he can't play defense. Like, so I get that he needs
to hide him.
Pat Beverly, you would think he could hide him, but Pat Beverly's scored 21 and 14 the last two games from a guy who averages 8 a game. I mean, look,
so,
it's just complex with Russ.
So
you love what he gives
how's
you.
How's Doug still in the league then?
Because he can score, because he can shoot. And it's a league that's thriving on three-pointers right now.
It is. So you're gonna give and take some,
mm-hmm.
aren't you? Here is Russ last night. After the ball game, 2 minutes of Russ, enjoy.
Oh, you want the whole two? I thought you wanted
to. Can we squeeze it?
Not now, no.
All right, well,
here's a clip.
Let's squeeze the clip in.
Grade, when you look at your line on the box score, how would you grade the line?
I don't give a f- about the line. You lost.
Obviously.
Well said.
Thank you, Russ.
Well, I mean,
I did dig the bandana last night. That was more offensive than his fourth quarter.
His get up, boy. I don't. Whoa.
Yeah.
So some of those guys, I
get
it.
He's a fashionista, but
I don't
think so.
But, I mean, geez Louise. If she's ever telling you to wear that, you need to fire them. Like, you're paying someone to fire their ass because you looked awful.
Oh, he needs leather pants, one of those mesh jersey tops that you can see through.
Right, right.
And a nipple
like
ring.
The fishnet.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah, some 90s style there. Yeah.
Just 80s style.
Just do it. There you go.
But then, you got, on the other hand, you got Golden State just trouncing Portland, and they don't even have KD.
No. Oh, yeah, Livingston, yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
I thought Portland would probably win that one. Good thing I don't bet anymore.
Anymore?
Yeah, anymore. Anymore. So, Russ is frustrating. That's not a great take or new news, but he was evil last night.
For a quarter.
For the most important quarter. They could have stole one. I thought they were going to push this thing to six because he's that talented.
But yeah, but when he goes off the court, that's when Houston made their run.
He went off the cliff.
I'm telling you, that's why he's complex.
It's just a headache. It's not complex. It's just a headache.
Want to be heard?
We know he's not. Let him finish.
Call 402-466-ESPN or text HALE to 88474 with your message. Chat with us on Twitter at Schmidt_radio at JMore44 and TJ_Henning.
Who wants to have some fun?
Now it's back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
One final time, hour one, 10 minutes away. Russ Landy, NFL Draft Insider. Where and when are your 2017 Huskers going in the NFL Draft? Russ Landy will tell you in 10 minutes. Blackshirt Husker NFLer Jay Moore. Jay went in the fourth round.
Yep.
Trick
the 49ers.
No, you didn't trick anybody.
Tricked them.
It was a wonderful pick.
I'm kidding. No, they got a hell of a... They got a steal, man.
Absolutely.
They got a bargain.
They got a major, major bargain. TJ Henning didn't get drafted. It's okay.
Didn't have any aspirations to.
They told me to leave. It's all right.
Do you remember the signing bonus? What was it, Jay? Do you remember?
Mine?
Yeah.
We're putting him on the spot financially.
I mean, you don't have to answer that. I guess I don't have a problem asking people money, but people apparently they don't like to give those answers. But
well, no.
I remember.
I've never had
it. I think I remember what it was
because,
after
hey,
taxes.
Hey, Keith, what are they paying you?
They're not a lot.
Yeah, I think
you don't have to answer that. Sorry.
No, I guess I won't answer because that always makes me feel a little uncomfortable. But I know what it is after. I'm pretty sure. I know I got the check and then.
Then you paid everybody else.
Well, then the taxes came out. I'm like, geez. Like, well, I remember what it was and then what it actually ended up being after, California. They,
Yeah.
They stick it to you. Yep. Okay. That's all that needs to be said about that.
So.
Sorry for making this awkward.
No. I'm just saying in my response to taxes in California. I don't.
Well, listen, this might help. You're not eligible for this, but those of us who haven't been drafted are. It's the Moneyball on ESPN. You got to listen for the key word at 5. When you hear the key word, can text that key word in to 77000 for a chance at $1,000. The 125K Moneyball happens weekdays here on ESPN 7, 9, and 1. 3 in the afternoon, and of course 5 during Hail Varsity. So when you hear that keyword, text 77000. You text the keyword in to 77000 for your shot at $1,000. Okay, so we gotta do those now. Okay, we'll do caller 4, caller 5. Yeah, caller 4 and caller 5. Right now, Bacon Fest tickets yours. Also, you'll get signed up with a 6-month free subscription to HailVarsity.com. But caller 4 and caller 5 for Bacon Fest. It's Sunday, 2:30 to 4, or did I go 4:30 to 7?
4:30 to 7.
4:30 to 7 at the Cornhusker Hotel. Caller 4, caller 5. Right now, Bacon Fest tickets for you. 466-3776, 466-3776, toll free 1-800-825-5865. Get in on the 800 line, 466-3776 or 800-825-5865. Caller 4, caller 5 for Bacon Fest tickets, Cornhusker Hotel, 4:30 to 7 this Sunday. And you'll also get hooked up with a 6-month online subscription to HailVarsity.com. Great message board community, fantastic inside info, great analysis, premium content with Aaron Sorensen, of course, Brandon Vogel, Jacob Padilla, Mike Babcock, Aaron Babcock, all that stuff. So caller 4, caller 5. Right now at 800-825-5865 or 466-3776. Russ Landy next.
Hail Varsity Magazine presents the Hail Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hail Varsity.
Day by day,
day by day,
we get better and better.
We get better and better.
We get
beat, beat.
We get beat, beat.
Boom, beat, beat.
Boom, beat, beat.
Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Back with you, Hour 2, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery, NFL Insider, and in the CFL, also with the Montreal Alouettes. And you can log on and find him, RussLandy.com. You follow him on Twitter, at Russ Landy. Guess who's on? It's Russ Landy back with us on Hail Varsity. Russ, great to speak with you again, man. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Chris. Thanks, as always, for having me on.
Hey, man, we've been doing this a long time, and I love your insight, your scouting, your background, and it's a great time of year. Is the NFL draft nearing, and should be an intriguing draft, Russ, and just a quick overview here when you look at all the prospects coming into 2017. And overall, is this year pretty impressive, in your opinion, when you look at the talent pool that's coming in?
You know, I think it's an impressive year at certain positions. So I think overall, if you look at the number of good prospects, yeah, it's good. When you look at, like, tight ends, you look at pass rushers, you look at quarterback depth, although maybe not guys at the top of it, and you look at safety, there's a lot of talent at those positions. So I think overall it's good. I don't know if you have as many truly special guys, like a top 5 or 7, like you do some other years, but you've got one or two guys way at the top, and you do have a very solid draft in terms of a good sort of middle class of players that are going to become solid starters.
Russ Landy with us, NFL Draft Insider, Hail Varsity Radio. Russ, what position is the deepest and most talented?
You know, I'd probably say it's between tight end and three positions, tight end, pass rusher, and safety. To me, those three positions are spots where in that second or third round, you're going to find good football players that could end up being longtime starters in the NFL. Now, every year, obviously, there's a sleeper that pops out of nowhere that becomes a starter. But I'm thinking in terms of the number of guys on NFL boards that have projected starter grades. Those three positions are really deep.
Russ, let's spend a few minutes here on some Huskers that are draft eligible. And I want to start with a tight end that we've been blessed to watch here at Nebraska for quite a while. And he's gone. He's a Louisiana native. And Seathan Carter, when he was found, made plays. He was dominant as a blocker. That's from my job, watching him during games, covering him. Your eyes, you've done a decade of scouting in the NFL and front office work. What's Seathan Carter say to you as far as where he could end up in this draft?
Well, I think unfortunately for him, it's like I mentioned, that's one of the deepest positions in the draft. I mean, there's four to five guys when you consider guys like Evan Engram and the kid from Miami, Ojoko,
yeah,
who are going to be potentially first or second round picks. It's going to push him down. I mean, he's going to be looking at as a day three guy. The fact that he's a good blocker helps him a lot because a lot of the tight ends nowadays are either blockers or receivers. They're not both. And I think he is a good blocker, and he has shown flashes of being a good receiver, which makes NFL teams intrigued about what he could be if obviously he's with a quarterback where they're throwing the ball more and they can get him more opportunities. I think there's more intrigue around him than many later round sort of tight end prospects. But at the same time, I don't expect him to go before the fourth round at the absolute earliest.
Let's talk Nate Gary, Senior Bowl guy, three-year starter at Nebraska. Great anticipation in football IQ. What's your grade? What are your thoughts on Nate Gary at the next level?
You like what you saw. I think at the Senior Bowl he did a good job. I think he's a guy that I'd be surprised if he's a first or a second rounder. I think somewhere in that third round is most likely where he's going to get a shot. And I think as long as he continues to develop as he has throughout his college career, I think he's got a chance to be a starter at the next level.
Do you see him as a guy that maybe some teams will look at linebacker, or is he just kind of a center field safety that can get downhill and stop the run?
I think if teams had a more clear picture of that, I think they'd be more able to figure out like where his true value is.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think the problem nowadays is a lot of safeties that you view as guys that are willing to come down and play physical, you have to figure out if they can cover.
Right.
Otherwise, you have to sort of transition them to another spot. I think teams like the fact that he has played deep in coverage, he has some experience doing that, being productive, and he's been willing to come down and be physical. So I think teams hope he can be a guy that can do both, and he's not going to be a one-dimensional player. But with most safeties, especially guys that are physical, they have to prove they can cover when they get to the NFL, and that's really the question he has to answer.
Talking NFL draft, NFL insider and draft expert GM Juniors and RussLandy.com. Russ Landy with us on Hail Varsity Radio. Russ, what do you think of the Nebraska wide receivers that are draft eligible? You have Brandon Riley, a lot of speed, good size, Alonzo Moore and Jordan Westerkamp. Any of those three, where do they fit into the draft, or do they?
I mean, I think Riley has the best chance because when you get late rounds in fifth, sixth, seventh round, you're generally drafting guys that have one trait that really translates to having a chance. His speed gives him a chance. I think that's what will entice teams to probably take a shot on him late. Westerkamp is a kid that I think NFL teams know about. They like his hands. They like his consistency. Their question is, athletically, does he have what it takes to make the jump to the NFL level? If I were to bet, I would say Riley has the best chance of being drafted, but even that is probably 50-50. The other two guys, to me, are probably chance of being drafted, but better chance of being free agents.
I want to wrap up the Nebraska thoughts with Tommy Armstrong and his transition to catching the football versus running it or throwing it. Is Tommy a project the team will take a flyer on, not necessarily draft-wise, but free agency? Is he a guy that could find a home in the league?
You know, I think he's going to get an opportunity to get signed as a free agent by a team that wants to look at him and sort of figure out where he fits. Because I think athletically, there's some things there in terms of when he's got the ball in his hands. I think teams are going to have to figure out, and this, I'm sure some of it came at his pro day, but the other stuff teams have to figure out is he better having the ball right in his hands running with it? Is he better catching it? That's what they have to determine. But athletically, I think, yeah, I think he'll get a chance, but he's definitely a guy that's going to have to sign as a free agent, probably get cut, go on the practice squad, and spend a year or two trying to develop as a player. Because the other thing that hurts him is, having been a quarterback in college, he has very little special teams experience in terms of running down and covering kicks and punts. So he's not going to be able to make a team based on being a dynamic special teams player. So he is a developmental guy who's going to need to spend a year or two on a practice squad if he's ever going to develop and make a team and be on the 53-man roster.
I want to talk personnel for a second. Billy Devaney, longtime NFL guy, Russ, and what's that do for Nebraska, having him a part of their football program based on his reputation in the league? Is it something that can help get kids to the next level?
Well, I think there's no question it can help, because I think the thing that it affords all the players is that Billy can not only help the players by telling them, hey, here are the things you need to work on. Like, say the guys that are going to be seniors next year, they could have Billy evaluate all of them and say, hey, here are the areas these guys have to get better at if they want to have any chance of playing at the next level. Additionally, he's the guy that NFL teams can call up and say, hey, can you give us some insight? What is this guy going to be like as a kid? And Billy can give them an honest assessment. And because Billy's been in the NFL for so many years, it's not like some of the guys that talk to NFL scouts that are at colleges, where the scouts come away saying, is he telling me the truth? What's the deal? NFL teams are going to come away from Billy knowing they're getting the real scoop because, well, Billy's been in the league, and he knows how important it is to get the real scoop. So NFL teams are going to feel comfortable that Billy is going to tell them exactly the scoop on the kids, because he realizes that you can't BS these guys and have a reputation afterwards.
Russ Landy with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Tanner Lee, he's Nebraska's quarterback for this upcoming season, named starter yesterday, transfer from Tulane's, done the passing academy, great size. Is he on any NFL radars right now, or is it going to take next season to get on there? Is there any word or buzz about Tanner Lee?
I have not heard any from talking to people, but the reality is very few scouts are really even paying attention to next year yet.
Gotcha.
So some scouts may have them listed on their list of guys to look at, but they aren't even going down that road and haven't even looked at that list yet, because they're just so busy with all the stuff they have to do to make sure they're prepared for this year's draft.
Let's talk running backs, and you got a slew of backs here in 17. Delvin Cook, of course, Leonard Fournette, and McCaffrey is there, P. Ryan from OU, and of course Mixon. Is there a can't-miss back in this draft, in your opinion?
I don't know if I'd say a can't-miss, because I think everybody thought Trent Richardson was, and obviously that turned out not to be true. I think of them, Fournette probably has the best chance of being a true back, like getting 20 carries, because even if he's never dynamic, he's at least going to be a powerful guy who could attack the line of scrimmage and be a strong inside runner. If I were to bet on one guy to put up the like highest odds of being a Pro Bowl guy who puts up big numbers every year, it's got to be McCaffrey, just because his versatility is, even if he's not great as a running back, he's going to be a slot receiver, he's going to be a return guy. But it's a great draft in terms of running back. Not many years do you have three guys that are legitimate first-rounders. Plus, I think if Mixon didn't have any off-field questions, I think there's a good chance he would be a first-rounder. So there's a lot of talent at the running back position this year, and that's not even mentioning guys like you mentioned, Sammy Perine, Danelle Pumphrey, the scat back from out of San Diego State, who a lot of NFL teams compare to Darren Sproles.
Wow.
So there's a lot of talent this year in college football at the running back position that NFL teams are excited to see in the next level.
Talking NFL draft, Russ Landy with us, Hail Varsity Radio. A couple more minutes with Russ. Edge rushers, Myles Garrett, is he a guy you'd take number one? You have spent time in Cleveland, and they obviously need a quarterback as well. They've got a number of picks in this draft in the first round, multiple picks. Do you think they go with Garrett? Do you think they go with Trubisky, or do they go elsewhere? What's your read on Cleveland?
You know, I really think with that first pick, it's either going to be Myles Garrett or Jonathan Allen. I think John Allen's sort of being the overlooked player right now. This is a kid who, to me, is the only guy that's really up at Garrett's class in terms of an impact guy, a very, very dominant player. Those, to me, are the top two guys. I would not take one of these quarterbacks at one. I probably wouldn't take any of them in the first round. I think the Browns will probably debate between taking a quarterback at 12 or trying to take one with the top pick of the second round and getting another impact player with that second first-round pick rather than having to take a quarterback.
Another guy that's an edge guy is Derek Barnett. Nebraska played Tennessee in the bowl game. Barnett had a monster day. Is he a guy that could have a long Pro Bowl-type career, or are his limitations going to be kind of found out at the next level?
You know, NFL teams, I think, I'm sure they've figured it out by now in terms of their draft boards, but you're not hearing it, which is when you look at Barnett and you see his lower body actually looks like a defensive lineman. He's very, very thick in terms of like almost like a 300-pound defensive tackle. He's very thick in the lower body. And a lot of guys who are built like that that play defensive end struggle at the next level. They're not able to beat guys off the ball as you hope they can. Now, he was a dominant college player, no question, but that's one of the concerns. And I think that's one of the reasons that guys like the kid Reddick out of Temple and the kid like McKinley out of UCLA, I think there are a number of teams that may have both of those guys higher on their board than Barnett. And it's not that Barnett wasn't a good player in college. He obviously was a productive player. But his physique and his style of pass rush don't really match up. He at college, he was a guy who tried to beat guys around the corner using his speed and ability to turn the corner, but he has the build of more of a power player. And how is that going to translate in the NFL? Is he going to be able to continue to be a speed guy, or is he going to have to be a power guy? And he's not a huge kid. So I think that's the concern with Barnett.
Russ, a couple minutes left. Who's your, for lack of a better term, who's your favorite quarterback in this draft? If you need one, but you don't have to take one super early, who are you betting on?
You know, I mean, there are two guys that I like a lot. I like DeShone Kizer, the kid out of Notre Dame,
yep,
and I like the kid Mahomes out of Texas Tech. I wouldn't feel comfortable taking either one of them with a top 10 pick, but if I were there in the early second round and wanted to find a quarterback to try to develop for the future, I think both of those guys are guys that I would look at because I think they have the physical skill set. I think they need some work. Kizer just needs experience, has become more consistent. Mahomes, you want to see him in a more traditional offense, see him do the things that quarterbacks have to do to be successful. But I think there are a lot of positives of both of those guys in terms of physical tools, innate ability to make plays, that at least intrigued me enough to where I'd be excited to get them in the second round.
About 40 seconds here. Curtis Samuel, is he going to be a long-time Sproles-type guy?
I think he's got a chance to. I think his ability to make things happen out in space give him the opportunity to be a productive player in the NFL, even though he probably is not the type of guy who's going to be a feature guy getting 20 touches a game. So, yeah, I think he's got a chance to fill that role very well.
Russ Landy, NFL Insider, at Russ Landy on Twitter and RussLandy.com, kind of breaking down not only Nebraska but some other key players in the draft. Russ, we'll catch up next week if it works out. Thanks for a few minutes.
You got it, Chris. Thanks, as always, for having me on your show.
We love Russ Landy. He's been doing NFL draft coverage for decades. Former front office guy in the NFL and scout, now director of scouting for Montreal and the CFL. So we'll get Russ on next Wednesday, I think, the night before the NFL draft. Excited about that. We'll catch up with Coach Barnett, Gary Barnett, next on Hail Varsity.
Welcome back to the Hail Varsity Radio Show. Here's Chris and Jay.
Great to have you back. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Blackshirt Husker, NFLer Jay Moore. We Facebooked live, alerting the world. Gary Barnett is coming up shortly. We welcome in Coach Barnett, Northwestern and Colorado. Talk some college football, talk some golf with him. Coach, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Chris. Jay, how you doing?
I'm hanging in there, Coach. It's finally getting that golf season weather up here, so I'm looking my chops.
Jay's a happy guy.
It's so funny because people are getting ready to leave here, and it's almost over, so it's funny, the different seasons, but we've got a good winter down here, so.
Well, we were wondering if you were in Scottsdale or if you were in Boulder on this date.
No, I'm in, if you're referring to this date, it's 4/20/17 for any reason, but no, I'm in Scottsdale looking for another month or so.
Well, good for you, Coach. Just wondering, it can get a little cloudy in Boulder on this day.
It got cloudier before than it does now. Now nobody protests anything, so it's cloudy all the time.
Coach, well, it's pretty clear with Nebraska. Coach Riley naming a quarterback last night. Tanner Lee is going to be his guy. He won the job. Both quarterbacks got equal reps. And wanted to kind of pick your brain on that job as a head coach when it comes to naming your starting quarterback. If you got two pretty good candidates, how strenuous and stressful is it? And do you like naming it in spring or after spring opposed to before camp?
Well, I think the thing that's most important is to give everybody a fair shot. And if you feel like everybody's gotten a fair shot and there's no clear difference, then I think you go into fall camp with that still being an issue. And our competition is the best word for it, I think.
Yeah.
But if everybody's had the fair shot, and it looks like, as I've followed Nebraska, that both quarterbacks have had a pretty fair shot, and if there is a difference and a fairly clear-cut difference, then I think you go ahead and make it. Make the decision and go with it. And that's what it looks like Mike's done with Tanner Lee, is that he has edged out far enough ahead that he can be named the starter. So, I think you've got to think about your players first and what's fair to them and fair to your team. And so you can go either way, but you've got to be fair.
Mm-hmm. Coach, I've been talking a lot with Tanner Lee, comparing, saying he's a little more poised, a little more composed back there. He's going to kind of take what the defense gives him. And I want to ask you, from a coach's perspective, I know playing in numerous types of different defenses, you're always willing to give something up as a defense to take away that big play. We're going to give them a simple underneath route. But from a quarterback and a coach's, offensive coach's perspective, is that easier said than done to take advantage of what the defense has given you?
Of course it is. You got to get the coach has got to give you a set of plays that get you into the situations that take advantage of that, and then your quarterback's got to get there, and then you got to execute. And so it sounds really good, Jay, but the reality is, you can say, okay, we're going to give you everything underneath. Well, there's a reason that you're going to give them everything underneath, is because it's been proven that the chances of you going 80 yards by just taking everything underneath, the short passes, that eventually you're not going to get in the mm-hmm. end zone. And so there's a reason you give something up. And you don't give up big plays. You're not willing to do that, but you're willing to give up something. So, the patience, I think, in those drives are really critical, and then execution becomes critical. So, Tanner's got what he does have, and you're right, he seems calmer probably because he's been back there. He's started how many, 19 games or something like that. So, it's easy for him to be more relaxed in that situation because he has a wealth of experience already.
Gary Barnett, a few minutes with us, Hail Varsity Radio, talking spring football. and Nebraska moving forward. Coach, wanted to get your thoughts on the running back tight end aspect of a West Coast attack and what it can do stress-wise to a defense. I think your teams at Northwestern, also at Colorado, you guys were extremely physical, first and foremost, so you ran the football. But you also had the ability to find a Graham or a Kloppenstein or a Brown or whoever. I mean, just dump it off. Your backs could catch, your tight ends could be mismatches. And do you believe Nebraska's offense can be stressful next year with Lee getting the ball out of his hands and finding the open guy, even if it is like intermediate or short?
Yeah, I think it's a great offense,
okay,
Chris. I really do. I think it's a great offense, and I think it survives all tests of time. And the tight ends in that offense are so critical. And what's really nice about it today is that nobody else is playing with a tight end. So you play with a tight end, you're going to be able to recruit good players at that position because there's no one's, very few teams are playing with a true tight end. And so you got a chance to, you make everybody practice different by serving that ball up and getting the tight ends into the seams. And, you know, back when Tom was coaching Osborne, the beauty of Nebraska's offense wasn't their quarterback, and to me, wasn't necessarily the great tailbacks at the I formation, but it was what they did to you in play actions to the tight ends. That was what we worried about more than anything else, was the play actions to the tight ends, because to stop those I backs, you know, you had to give some things up, and those tight ends were able to take advantage of what you were giving up, and that was always the biggest threat when we played Nebraska.
Had a chance during the NCAA tournament to bump into Coach Bray, and I said, Coach Barney says hi, and he says to say hi back to you. He kind of got a kick out of that. He was cheering for Gonzaga, something fierce. Not a shock there.
Of course, for sure.
But you look at the linebacking core, and Coach Bray's done such a good job at his time here at Nebraska, but Diaco comes in, and it seems like it's been a pretty smooth transition from Diaco to the coaches and Diaco to the players. But, Coach, I want to get your take on energy, because that was kind of the buzzword here on Diaco and what he brings. How a coaching change can also energize a staff. Is that something that you've experienced, or is it something that you've seen happen before and it can turn a good season into a special season?
Well, energy is always good, and you know, especially when you've had an older staff around. You know, one of the things I thought was always interesting, in fact, Coach Bray's father was the guy that brought this up when I brought him in, and we had a pretty veteran group. And you know, the first thing he says to me, he says, "You know what? Your carpets are filthy." And I said, "What?
What?
I never noticed it." Well, new eyes come in and they see stuff that you don't see because you've just gotten used to it. And so, you know, some of that's energy, some of it's just a different look. Some of it's making you look at what's really here. And I think that's all good, and if you take it the right way. But, you know, Bobby, I think the transition, and back to Trent a little bit. Trent, you know, this is a chance to learn a defense that, one, it's hard to learn it, mm-hmm. but once you learn it, you're really a valuable, you know, commodity, because coaching linebackers in the 3-4 defense is a critical spot. And so once you get the ins and outs of that, you are a commodity. Everybody's trying to run that defense, the NFL, collegiate, the college level. So it gives you an asset, and you know, I'm sure Trent's looking forward to that and learning a lot on the run.
Coach, I know from a coach's perspective, to your players, you're always preaching about complacency. Don't get complacent. Don't get comfortable. Don't get, you know, always working to get better,
sure,
improving something. But from a coaching staff, can coaches become complacent sometimes too? I know you're talking about it a lot, but can they get a little too comfortable, especially being around a certain coach or in a certain system for X amount of years?
Oh, I think so, Jay. And I think a perfect example is what happened to Mack Brown in Texas.
Wow.
You know, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, 5 years ago, when there was just a sense of entitlement. They were given so much, and they, you know, you just sort of lost that edge that you have to have if you're going to coach at that level and be successful at that level. So, yeah, it can happen. It surely can happen. And I think as a head coach, you've got to always be stressing that staff, and you've got to always be stretching the envelope a little bit so that you can stress the staff. They need to be stressed. That's how you get better. So, yeah, I agree totally.
Gary Barnett with us, Hale Varsity Radio. Coach, about 90 seconds. We need a golf update. How's the golf game been for you?
Well, I think I've discovered the secret. I'm ready for a clear breakthrough. I'm outside the range right now, getting ready to go down and make sure that I remember what I did earlier today, because that's always a problem. Is, you know, if I play poorly, I go practice to fix it. If I play well, I go practice to see if I can still do it after I played. So, yep. You know, I'm going to practice no matter what.
So you going to the range at Whisper Rock?
I'm actually at the Desert Mountain right now.
Oh, well,
yeah.
Hey, that's like comparing a Lamborghini to a Ferrari, so good for you.
Code is Jay's on his way.
I got a spot, Jay. We got a spot every morning.
Yeah.
Your name on it.
I'll see what I can do.
I tell you, we got to do that road trip.
Yeah, I know.
Well, you and Coach can play because I suck at it, but we can do the show down in Arizona, and then you can go play in Arizona.
Hey, I'm always down for an Arizona golf trip. I know that.
We'll make it happen.
You guys just let me know. I'll take care of you.
You're awesome. Coach, enjoy the rest of your weekend. Thanks for making a few minutes for us.
All right, guys. Have a good weekend.
You too.
Thanks,
take care. There he is, Gary Barnett with us, Hale Varsity Radio. That's just good stuff to get caught up with him. And I don't lie to you, when I say he's on the range or he's practicing, there's three things he's doing. He is either working that green egg of his to put the perfect rib out there, or he's putting, or he's at the driving range.
Yeah, he's at the golf course where he's barbecuing.
Doing ribs.
Right.
Which, yes.
Sign me up. I mean, sounds...
I think he's not doing either of those. He's
on the radio
with us.
Right.
So we love him. Good stuff from Gary Barnett. And he got a kick out of the hole. Boulder on this date.
A little cloudy.
Very cloudy. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Former black shirt, Jay Moore.
That thing is big, Jay. That thing looks hurt, Jay. Oh, man, pull back up, Jay. Jay, we could get some big money for that.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Big thanks to Gary Barnett for spending time with us last segment. Chris Schmidt, Jay Moore, TJ Henning. Now, after Coach Barnett's done with the ribs on the smoker, in the driving range practice, I wouldn't be surprised if he's not hot tubbing it. And if you want to hot tub it, Home Innovation Spas, 20th and Highway 2. Deb the Spa Lady is who you need to see. It's who people have seen for 25 years and counting. 20th and Highway 2 in Lincoln and Omaha location. Spasonline.com. Deb, it is phenomenal weather outside. I need to be in a hot tub. Can you find one for me?
We sure can, and we are out doing just today. We're out delivering swim spas today, and that seems to be something that people are finally realizing, and they're catching on to the fact that a swim spa can be used as a spa or as a pool. You know, you don't need to put in an above-ground or an in-ground pool. You can do a swim spa, and it'll serve the same purposes only year-round. You're not limited to 3 months a year in Nebraska. Year-round enjoyment, you can swim, you can exercise, you can relax. It fits the bill for everything.
Well, and Deb, that just sounds perfect, and I'm sure you have different versions of the swim spa, correct, from a size standpoint? I mean, obviously, the swim spa will allow you to do the exercise and the relaxation, but you have different varieties folks can choose from, correct?
We do. We have swim spas that start at 12 feet long up to 19 feet long. The 19-foot one actually has a division between the swimming area and the spa area, so you can actually adjust the temperature separately. So we've got it all, and we've got them in stock. We could get it delivered. We make the whole process so simple and easy. Just come in and see us and see one, because if you haven't seen one in person, you're in for a real treat.
No, and that kind of reminds me of, like, my house a little bit. Her side of the bed, my side of the bed, do not cross. So you can work out in one side, and she can relax in the other. Perfect.
That's right. Or vice versa.
Yeah.
I think in your case, it might be the other way around.
Yeah, or the relaxed part. I get you. Deb, where can folks come see these swim spas at Home Innovation Spas in Lincoln? When are you going to be around for folks to see you?
Well, we're at 20th and Highway 2 in Lincoln. Up in Omaha, we're at 138th at Industrial Road. You can also check out our website and see videos of the swim spas. That's spasonline.com.
I can't wait. I'll be down, and I'm going to check out the swim spa, both sides, the relaxation side and the workout side, okay?
Sounds like a plan.
All right,
I'll
Deb.
See ya.
You take care. You're awesome. There she
okay.
is.
Bye-bye.
Deb, the spa lady. That's kind of right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you catch the wife on certain nights where she gives you the look like if she had a knife, she may use
mm-hmm.
it
yeah, you're
on
shake.
Your neck.
Uh-huh.
That's my side of the bed.
Uh-huh.
It's childish and stupid, but it's territorial.
Yeah, my side just keeps getting smaller and smaller, it seems like.
Yeah, they're like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Totally, man. Marriage problems.
TJ's chiming in.
Feel you guys.
TJ, you can army crawl out of there. Yeah. You're not obligated.
The dip.
Jay and I like softly fall and roll out of bed. We think we've made it, like we're Andy Dufresne.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you going? To get a drink of water.
I'll be back.
Well, bring me. Yeah. So, okay. Let's talk NFL draft. Bird, this might be the year of the running back.
Yeah, you see some probably more first-round running backs and quarterbacks.
2 to 3.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you like here? Do you like – okay, if Jay Moore is – hired tomorrow. That would be an awful thing for us at Hale Varsity. But say Jay Moore's hired by an NFL dude. Are you going Dalvin Cook? Are you going Leonard Fournette? Do you like Mixon? Do you like Samaje Perine? Is it Perine?
Yep, yeah,
I think
Perine.
So. Yeah.
I know he helped. He did Nebraska a solid a week after the Wisconsin game.
Right.
Yeah.
Two years ago because he broke the record. Uh-huh. And then you got McCaffrey.
Yeah. Did you guys see that social media video of him?
Just, McCaffrey?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Just cutting up. Just like his – as fast as legs were moving. Holy moly.
I like Fournette a lot. Not – you know what? For – he's a big physical back, but – he didn't play a lot, so I don't think he has a lot of mileage on him going into there, because that's a huge thing.
I think
anymore.
Dalvin Cook's got a million miles on him.
He has a lot.
And I love him.
He's a lot.
He reminds me of Freeman, also a Florida
State
back.
Right, right. Really good catching out of the backfield. I would probably.
But Cook's got that gear, man.
Fournette's
go to
probably.
The house.
Yeah. Yeah, but Fournette has that. I don't know. I think.
He'll get you 4.
Yeah, he's physical. So I mean, not that Dalvin's not, but he has a little more shake to him. But I really like McCaffrey. I know he's injured.
You think he can be?
But he's not.
Can he be a white running back in the NFL that succeeds?
He's not. He I'd look at him as more as a slot receiver.
Yeah.
What are
you use him everywhere?
What are you doing? I mean, honestly, it's. His game is going to probably compare to more what teams do with like Danny Woodhead
or like a Burkhead, yeah.
You know, because and he
both
and,
very talented,
right,
successful guys.
Right.
Yes.
But I see them as you're not probably using him as a first and second down back necessarily, but you know, third down back very good because you can use him in screen games. You can use him good in pass pro, but you can also line up in the slot, and he's just again a matchup nightmare for those inside linebackers. I really like him that way, but I really like what Christian did and say, I'm good. I'm not gonna go on any of these special visits with NFL teams. So even when you after combine, after pro day, teams will fly you in so they can meet with you for a day. So I never went on any of these trips, but it's not
you got a grocery bag, I should say a trash bag full of Nike gear, so you did fine.
No, but it's not that. But some guys go on a lot. Some guys, I think Stu went to like New England because I was living with him at the time. So he went to like New England and Philly and maybe one other place. And he was drafted by Philly. But they fly you in, you meet with head coach, owners, blah blah blah. Go to dinner usually, Christian turned down all these trips. He's like, nope, I'm good. Which I kind of respect him for that. It's ballsy.
You're not going to kiss any butt.
It's ballsy, but, I mean, his dad knows what's up. I mean, Ed knows what's up. He knows what NFL life's about.
Giants and Broncos.
Right. So, you know, I mean, he knows what's – I mean, it's very interesting, though. Usually, you know, whoever his agent is, I mean, I like it because, you know, anymore, the NFL – because once you're kind of in, you're just a piece of meat. You're just another guy. You're another figure. Now, Christian will be a little, you know, he'll be a first round, maybe late set or early second.
He'll be first round guy.
But he, you know, this is your one opportunity, you know, in your career, to, you know, because you're kind of you're controlling your livelihood now. Once you're in that first contract, you're kind of not. And then if you perform well and get to that second contract, then you're kind of back in that same situation where you're in control. But this is for the next 4 to 5 years, you're at your, you know, that team's mercy. So you're kind of, I love that he was able to step back and say, I'm good.
All right. We'll do those in a minute. TJ Henning, Chris Schmidt, Jay Moore, it's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Forget to catch any segment of the show?
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Find the podcast of the show on HailVarsity.com or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
All right.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
One final time, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Sauter Heyman's where you find the Pure Grown Diamonds, Nebraska's exclusive dealer for Pure Grown Diamonds. See your friends Rick and the gang at Sauter Heyman. Pure Grown Diamonds are real diamonds. They are grown in a lab instead of mined from the earth. Think about that. There's no dirt on them. Huh? They're clean. They're beautiful. They're charismatic. They're eco-friendly. They're 10 to 40% less than traditional earth mine diamonds. See why they're beautiful and see why they're some of the biggest and best sellers in Sauter Heyman history. Nebraska's exclusive dealer of pure grown diamonds. Sauter Heyman, 12th and O downtown, Lincoln South Point Pavilion, Lincoln or out west with your friends in Grand Island. SauterHeyman.com, yourbestring.com. Busy show today. Thanks so much to Husker outside linebacker Luke Gifford. His thoughts on the spring. Coach Diaco. Tanner Lee, all that good stuff. Caught up with Luke Gifford in hour one. Russ Landy broke down the NFL draft and the Huskers, where they likely can go in the draft in hour two. And then Gary Barnett joined us on the golf course in Scottsdale, not Boulder, as we talked to Riley, his offense, Tanner Lee a little bit, and some of the defensive shakeup that went on and how that can help a team. And Jay just got done talking some running backs. Time for you now to get hooked up. How many pair do we got here? Just one?
One just left?
One pair left.
Mm-hmm.
Bacon Fest is at the Cornhusker in Lincoln, 4 to 7 or 4:30 to 7?
4:30 to 7.
I was right the first time.
Sunday.
4:30 to 7 Sunday. Sunday, Sunday, Sunday.
Sunday, Sunday.
Sunday. Sunday. Yeah, you ever have to do those car ads?
No.
Sunday, 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 4:30 to 7 at the Cornhusker Bacon Fest. Two tickets for you right now. Also, a HailVarsity.com subscription for 6 months. That's inside info. That's up-to-the-date info. That's recruiting. That's message board access. That's premium content access. You get both. Caller 5. Cinco. Caller 5 right now for Bacon Fest and HailVarsity.com. 466-3776, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865, caller 5 now, a pair of Bacon Fest tickets, and HailVarsity.com, a six-month online subption. Caller, I say 5?
Mm-hmm.
Cinco. Caller 5 now. 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. So the Lincoln A's are in action here in about 3 minutes.
Against the Rebels.
I'm fired up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How are those uniforms working out for them?
They are beautiful.
Good.
They're Adidas.
Mm-hmm.
Which means they're gorgeous. Now, I was supposed to. TJ, turn your mic off. Love you, honey. I was hoping that if he was going the Adidas route, there'd be more hits in his bat, but I can't blame you for that.
No, he did not get his bat through me.
No, he didn't. It's a good call. So you guys sell bats, too?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Right, I was going to, like, stumble over there last night when I got done.
Oh, yeah, press box.
All good. Bird, you're awesome. Good to see you, man.
Yeah,
thanks
absolutely.
For tuning in. Thanks for spending time with the Hail Varsity. If you missed anything, you can log on HailVarsity.com for the podcast. Take care. Talk to you tomorrow at 4:00.